Well, good morning, Bridgewater. I'm glad that you're here today. I want to welcome those who are joining us online. I heard some of you groan when you heard the date of September 1st. I'm like super excited. It's September 1st, right? Labor Day weekend. One of the things I'm excited about is I love college football, and I know... Great. So anyway, since the Giants have been off their game recently, so all I have is college football. So I'm excited that college football's here. And the other thing, hey, this is going to get you excited, right? Just think, we're just a couple of weeks away from Hallmark Christmas movies, right? Seriously, college football gets nothing Hallmark because they usually start about mid-October. And so we're excited it's coming. And we're in the third week of Radical Hospitality. And we've stolen all these ideas from a guy named Dr. Richard Beck. And what he's done is he's written a book called Radical Hospitality, Creating a World Without Strangers. And he's led some small group seminars. So 2 weeks ago, appreciate Pastor Matt here last week. Is that guy, he's amazing. I'm so glad that he's on our team. It's exciting to have him. He does a great job at our Halstead campus. And so I'm glad that he fills in here. When I was down in Tunkhannock last week and just hanging out, and I was watching, and Mom, don't listen, okay? So I was watching the online campus of his driving, and it was awesome. Kids, don't try that at home. It's dangerous. But it's kind of fun. You get to even watch as you're driving what's going on. And so I was paying attention to what's happening in Conklin as I was on my way to Tunkhannock. So anyways, enough of that. I don't need any emails. Please don't send me any. You shouldn't be doing that. So I gave you something to do 2 weeks ago. And I know you all remember, right? You remember what I told you to do? That's great. It's awesome to know that I have an impact on people. It's like, thank you, God, for using me. Here's what I asked you to do. I said, would you at least show one form of hospitality towards someone else? Maybe some kind of hospitality that some people would say is somewhat radical. And so I gave you the assignment, just one thing. Reach out to a person who may be hurting, who may be in need of some support, some encouragement. So whether it's a neighbor, someone you're struggling with, someone you can make pie for or cookies for, someone you can sit down and encourage at work who's going through a difficult time, I ask you, would you at least try to do one thing that would be considered hospitable? God forgive them. Seriously, I'm glad it had an impact in your life. So anyways, we actually were the recipients of some radical hospitality. So someone emailed me and challenged me on the fact that they'd invite us up before. And I kind of we'll get together sometime. And I'm kind of a loner, so I know it's a shock, but put me in the woods, cutting trees and stuff like that, I'm happy. And so somebody said, hey, we'd love to have you go out to eat with us sometime. It's we'll do that. So they wrote me this nasty email that said, hey, hospitality, you got to receive it too, right? And so we went with them, and it was I feel really bad. Yeah, we went to Moxie's with them. If you've not been to Moxie's, is it really good? But I feel bad. No, I don't. I don't feel bad at all. It was great. So they have some of the best French onion soup in the area. And so I enjoyed that. Enjoyed the fellowship. But one of the things that I really enjoyed was getting to know people that we didn't know very well. And one of the things that I loved hearing was their story, not only about their life, but the way that God is using them to serve other people. And they were doing something that I was not aware of. And it was just a blessing. We got in the truck, my wife and I, and we just started talking and said, that's really neat that God's using them in that way. And so I want to encourage you to just think through, how can you be radically hospitable to someone else? How do we create a world without strangers? Radical hospitality is where we have to step into and do, maybe sometimes take extreme measures, what we feel are extreme, to break down these barriers where we begin to reach out and begin to serve people that may not be like us. It's where we show love to people that we may not be similar to. And so God's called us to that. And if we remember, we talked about what hospitality means. It means a love for strangers. So if we're going to carry out the mission of making more and better disciples of Jesus Christ, one of the things that we have to do is be radically hospitable, that we need to show love to strangers. So whether you are a follower of Jesus Christ or not, I think it's something in humanity that we should do, right? We should be kind to other people. We should reach out and serve other people. Jesus Christ was the epitome of radical hospitality. Throughout his ministry, he was attacked. verbally. He was attacked physically. Oftentimes he did ministry when he had this like this bounty hanging over his head because people wanted him dead. And the reason they didn't like what Jesus was doing, because not only because of what he said, but because of who he hung out with. And so people would constantly confront him with saying, what are you doing with those people? Why are you talking to them? Remember they said, why do you eat with sinners? And so the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day pushed back against them because they looked at people and said, you are a lower class than me. You are not worthy of my time. You're not worthy of my resources. You're not even worthy of my energy. And the religious leaders would push people away. Isn't that interesting that church people sometimes are more known by who they push away than by who they draw near? So if we are in the mission to be like our Savior, what Jesus did was instead of pushing people away, he drew people close. And other people looked at him and said, what are you doing? Don't you understand that's not the way we do it in the religious community? So I want you to know this. There are times churches look more like Pharisees than they do like Jesus. There are times that as churches, we look a lot more like those people who rejected Jesus than we do Jesus himself. And maybe God is going to speak into your life today, and he's going to challenge you with a person that as you look at society, as you look at our culture today, you're going to say, I have no business reaching into their life and trying to serve them or help them. But if that is what God has put on your heart, if that is what God's calling you to do, can I encourage you to walk in obedience? Because the Pharisees will step back and they will push people away and they feel like they are unworthy when Jesus will draw close and he will serve and love people in the middle of the mess. That's what God has called us to do. Would you open your copy of the scriptures to Mark chapter 1? Mark chapter 1, and we're going to be looking through a couple verses in Mark 1. Mark, who is the author of this gospel, was a person who was actually an eyewitness to Jesus' ministry. He's one of the disciples. He watched the things that Jesus went through, the persecution he faced. He saw his death. He saw his burial. He saw the resurrection. And there's a place where people have questions like, why would Mark continue to do this if what happened wasn't true? So he was an eyewitness to what transpired. He also saw Jesus cast out demons. And in Mark chapter 1, Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and he saw Jesus go and heal her at her home. And a group of people gathered outside the home. And when he came out, he was patiently working with them, and he healed others. So Mark watched all of this stuff happen. And soon after that, as Jesus was walking through a community, he was confronted by a person who had leprosy. And when Jesus was walking through the community, this person with leprosy walked up, knelt before him, and asked the question, if you want to, and if you're willing, you can fix this. Jesus, I need help. Are you willing? Here's how it transpired in Mark chapter 1. It says this, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. Now, this is an interesting word. So as you have a translation open, and it may be a different translation, you may see the word compassion, or he had pity on him. What the word is, basically in the language, the original language, is a word filled with emotion, and they're so closely associated with each other that some people went with indignant, that he was frustrated, like, hey, what do you mean if I can? What do you mean if I will? Of course I will. But other people take it, same kind of word, base word, but with emotion. It says, but he had compassion and he had pity. So you can take it any way you want, but Jesus was indignant. He had compassion, and he reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. So here's a scenario. Leprosy was a disease that was contagious. It was a skin disease. You had lesions on your skin. It led to irreversible nerve damage. And so oftentimes people would injure themselves over and over again because they couldn't feel pain. And it led to other problems. The big deal, though, it was contagious. If you came in contact with them, you would be contaminated. And so people who had leprosy were kind of pushed out of the community. They were seen as being unclean. Sometimes they would be crippled. Sometimes they would have loss of limb. Sometimes they were blind. So here comes this person up to Jesus, kneels before him and said, if you are willing, will you cleanse me? Will you heal me? To me, the scariest part of all of this is that it was contagious. The religious leaders, there's no way they would have had anything to do with them, because they would have gone back to Leviticus chapter 13, where we're under the law and there's requirements. And Leviticus chapter 13 said this: anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. So a society looked at a person with leprosy. Medicine is not where it was today. You didn't heal leprosy. If you got it, you were stuck with it. So here comes Jesus into the community. This leper goes, here's my only shot at it. Jesus, what can you do? Are you willing to help me? Could you imagine if you had to walk through society, walk through culture today, and made or announced to everyone what your hurt, what your hang-up, or what your habit was? Could you imagine? So if you're in the mall or in the park or going to school, wherever you are, there you stand in the midst of society and you have to yell out, because what the leper had to do was, if anybody walked by him, wherever he was, he had to shout out, unclean, unclean. If he walked into a room where there's people, he had to make sure that everyone knew that he was unclean. So could you imagine if you had to walk in and share whatever dysfunction thing that you had going on? Could you imagine if you had to share that? You walk into a room, I'm divorced. I'm divorced. I have diarrhea. So what these people observed in life was this. When people looked at them in society, and according to the law, they had to yell out, unclean, unclean. And what they walk through life with are people turning their backs on them and walking away. It's amazing to me that people who say they follow Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, He's radically transformed your life, that we have the audacity, when people come through those doors or when we run across people in community, and with our hearts or with our attitudes, we say, unclean, unclean. The leper looked and said, are you willing? Are you willing? And my question to you today is the same question that the leper asked Jesus. Are you willing? In your life, are you willing to reach out to people who may be going through a difficult time? People who no one else will reach out to. People who society has condemned. People who in your class at school says, oh, they're that person. And therefore you avoid them like they have a plague. Are you willing to reach out to people that the religious community says, you're unclean, and they basically ostracize them from the church? Because what I see in Jesus' example is this. When a person stood before him who was contaminated, he said, instead of saying, you're unclean, get away from me, he said, I'm willing. So often, our paradigms have been formed by our upbringing, by education, by whatever experiences we have. And you know who we're most likely to minister to? Are those people who have the same story as we have. So if you're similar to me, if you have the same story to me, then I'm more willing to reach out to you. What we become uncomfortable with is that someone has a different story, someone has a different experience, and we walk outside of our comfort zone and we don't feel comfortable to say, I'm willing. It's no doubt that when our children's ministry director was diagnosed with breast cancer, a lot of people reached out to her, but you know who reached out to her? Are those who had breast cancer. Those who have been survivors of breast cancer, reach out to her and ask her questions. What kind of treatment? What's the doctor saying? What are you going to do? And they stuck where they're, hey, I know today's the day you're starting treatment. I want you to know I'm praying for you. Why? Because they had a similar story. People who have been divorced have a tendency to reach out to people who are going through a broken relationship. People who have special needs children have a tendency to reach out to other families who have special needs children. Because we reach out to people that are like us. People that we understand. But what makes Jesus so amazing is that he reached out to people that were not like him. He reached out to people like who were sinners. Jesus never sinned. But he had compassion for those who sinned. Jesus never had leprosy, but he reached out to those who had leprosy. See, for us, we look at people who are from a different religion, a different race, a different school system, a different social background, a different moral background. And what we do is we look at them with our attitudes and with our life. We look at them and in our hearts we say to them, unclean. Therefore, not acting like our Savior and missing out on opportunities to serve people who God has put right before us. God puts people before us that doesn't necessarily make sense, that we are able to share the message of hope with, that we're able to serve and we're able to love. He showed some real moxie when he reached out and he touched them. Because you know from the Gospels that Jesus didn't have to be in the same community with the person to heal them. He could do it from a distance. If it was a rabbi, there's no way he would have reached out and touched them because he would have been unclean for any ceremony in the temple. But Jesus reached out and touched an individual who was contaminated, who was contagious. I want you to know, to me, it'd be like someone who had the stomach flu, because that's like the worst thing in the world for me. If you have the stomach flu, I want you to say to me, unclean, unclean. Like, if you have the stomach flu, I'm going to run as far and as fast as I can. It won't be very far and it won't be very fast, but I'm leaving. You're going to see my back if you have the stomach flu. Jesus walked up. And while he could have healed them from a distance, Jesus reached out and he touched them. To me, that's a huge, as a germaphobe, that's huge. He touched them. He touched a man who probably had not had human contact for how long? It's like getting a hug for someone who goes from week to week without getting a hug from somebody. All of a sudden, you get one hug. And you just go, oh, it's like human contact. Could you imagine going for months and years with no contact? And Jesus reached out with compassion and touched him. And I think he sent a message to the religious community and said, I understand what Leviticus 13 says, but there's a place for grace and there's a place for love. And he reached out. So often we are influenced by a thing called negative dominance. Negative dominance is in the psychology world kind of thing, where if you walk into a situation where there's both a positive and a negative aspect to whatever's going on, typically the negative will win out because the negative will contaminate the positive. So when we look at a situation, instead of looking at the positive, we look at the negative, we go, even though 80% of it's good, all we have to see is 20% bad, and I don't want anything to do with it. So when I was working in business, we had a gas station a couple doors down. I would go down and get one of those like 32-ounce drinks. Diet Coke, put it on my desk, straw, you know, one of those. A lady knows I'm a germaphobe who worked there, walked in, thought she'd be funny. And she picked up the glass and she sipped out of the straw. I was horrified. Not only did she touch my drink, but she put her lips on the straw. So she could see the panic, because I think she thought it would be funny. And when she saw my face, she went, uh-oh. Like I don't hit women, but like I was like close. Like I was like this. So I took it and threw it out, brand new. Just threw it out. And she's like, I'll get you a new straw. What you don't understand is you contaminated the cup. You touched it. And who knows what happened with that when you touched my straw? Negative dominance. Do we have anybody like that at all in here? Like, are you like, all right, I got to get counseling. So anyways, but it's amazing that Jesus overcame that negative dominance. We could look at the lesions, the bruises. He could have looked at this man who was hurting. Guy was an outcast. He was unclean. To most of society, he was disgusting. But God intercedes, left, and changes everything. I want you to know that we have a God who is willing to get his hands dirty, to step into the midst of humanity and help people in the middle of the mess. And he's called us. He's called each one of us to do the exact same thing. But sometimes we get too busy to help others for their good and for God's glory. We get so consumed by what's going on around us that with our attitudes and with our actions, we basically look at people and say, unclean. I'm glad that people didn't look at me when I was a kid. And in their mind, where they could have easily said that because of the way that I lived as a kid, they could have just looked at me and said, unclean, I'm done with you. But someone felt it was important enough to share Jesus with me, to a kid who may have been a little bit of a punk. I'm glad they were willing. When our family went through the most darkest time in our family's life, we had people who knew it wasn't convenient, but they reached out and they listened and they cried with us. They gave us wise counsel. I'm glad they were willing. Are you willing? I got an email this week from one of my kids. 33 years ago, I went to a church. Like, I am like long of tooth, right? And when he emailed me out of nowhere. I haven't talked to the guy in probably, I bet you it's been close to 30 years since I've talked to him. This is what he said. I haven't talked to you forever, but I just wanted you to know I prayed for you today. And he said, because of your influence, I'm a Christian school teacher, and hundreds of kids have been impacted because you had an impact in my life. Folks, you understand that's not about me. That's about us doing what God's called us to do. You have no idea when you say, I'm willing, what God is going to do with your sacrifice. How he's going to change people and how God's going to use them for his glory and for the good of others. Goes on in Mark and says this. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and he began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This changed Jesus' ministry because not only did he have an influence on a person's life who had leprosy, but he had an impact on a community that looked at the leper. His network was impacted by what Jesus did. The community was changed. His ministry was changed. Could you imagine if God's people actually showed love for strangers, if they were actually radically hospitable to other people, if they actually served people that made no sense? I'm not sure as a church we could contain the numbers of people in our three services if we reached out and showed radical hospitality to people in our community. See, in fact, I think there's a lot of churches that are closing their doors because of that very thing. It became a holy huddle. It's all about us. It's about people that are like us. We don't want anybody in here who's going to contaminate what's happening in here with different ideas. They want our building to look different. They actually have a different suggestion. Look, listen to me. Like, I don't want to be contaminated by those people. And the church slowly dies. We want to invite people who live in a messy world, who have broken lives, and say this: we have a solution that's found in Jesus Christ here. That's the kind of church we need to be. So my second question, and as we close, are you willing to obey even when it doesn't make sense? To the Pharisees, this did not make sense. To the rabbis, it didn't make sense. To the disciples, it didn't make sense. Even to the leper, it probably didn't make sense. But he reached out, touched him, and said, I'm willing. Could you imagine the leper? He probably went on vacation. I can go on vacation now. I can go home and spend time with my family. I can hang out with friends. But most importantly, he saw Jesus was the one who could change his life. Since we're called to be like Jesus in this world, I want to ask you this question. Are you willing to reach out to people who have similar struggles than you? And ultimately, are you willing to reach out to people that you have no idea the world you're walking into, but you're saying, God, I'm willing. I don't care if society has said unclean. I want you to know that I'm willing, that you are worth my time, my energy, and my resources. I want to serve you. Have you ever been kind of that little voice in your head that says, hey, there's someone who's struggling. You need to help them. And then you talk yourself out of it because you can come up with some kind of reasoning why you shouldn't do it. Are there times that you see a neighbor or someone at work or someone at school and you know what's going on is not right? But you fail to step up and show love to a stranger. Maybe God's calling you to do that. I want you to know that when I was in high school, and while I had my things in high school, one of the things I hated is kids picking on other kids. And I really hated when people picked on people with special needs. Couldn't stand it. When I saw it, I would walk up, and sometimes there's multiple people, and I'd go, you talk to him like that again, I'm going to wreck your world. Don't treat him like that. Maybe some of you are going back to school this week in New York. You know, you see the kids who have special needs. What are the other kids going to say if I'm actually nice to them? Who cares? Be little Jesuses in your high school or in college and reach out and be kind to people. And show them the love of Christ and serve them when it's ever possible. Some of you may at work, and you know that person who's really annoying at work. I mean, super annoying at work. They are so needy. But oftentimes behind that neediness is a broken world. And what if you said, God, I don't know how, but I'm willing. Some of you today may have problems with your family, right? Because you're not going to forgive them. You don't have any idea what they did to me. Maybe you need to reach out with radical hospitality and say, I want to love you and I want to serve you. It says, Jesus was indignant and he reached out his hand and he touched the man and he said, I'm willing. Folks, my challenge to you is this. It's a question and a challenge. Are you willing? Are you willing? And if you are, who? Who is God going to put before you this week that you can reach out and serve and love and show the same compassion that Christ showed? Are you willing? Father, thank you so much. We live in a world that can be quite messy. And there are people who are hurting and frustrated, and sometimes they're difficult to love. But I pray that as a church, not just for Bridgewater, but for churches in our community that know Christ as their personal Savior, that they would step out in the community and that they would make a difference one life at a time. God, I pray that whatever you're laying on the hearts of our people, that they'd be willing to step in obedience and do what you called them to do. for the good of others, but ultimately it's for your glory. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.